Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope. And on this edition of Word Made Flesh, we will be blessed from the voices from men participating in our men's ministry program. So, gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
Before we went on the air, we opted to talk about things like testing and temptation and God's faithfulness in that. So, the scripture we've selected, in which we can do our reflection, comes from Paul's writing in his first letter to the Corinthians, and that's going to come from chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 11, 12, and 13. So if I could have someone read that for us. 1 Corinthians 10, 11 through 13.
These things happened to them as an example and are written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. All right. Any initial thoughts, comments, questions? What kind of jumps out at you? What's resonating in your spirit there when you think about testing, temptation, endurance?
Life's a test. You just got to learn from it.
It at least provides that blessing for opportunity for lessons to be learned. If we come across, we have a certain lesson and we don't necessarily learn from it, so we're going to go back to the same behavior or whatever that is. We may be called a fool, right? But when we can learn lessons, make the appropriate adjustments, we may become fruitful, right? To repeat that over and over without learning lessons may be fatal.
I think, like,
right? So you got foolishness, fatal, and fruitful, right? So it really, there's your choice. Do you want to be foolish, fatal, or fruitful?
I think, too, like, you know, if I look at it in my perspective of what I'm going on in my life right now, dealing with, like, you know, kind of being young and dealing with diabetes, my own health, and have to be careful. Like, there's times where it's like I feel like I'm on, you know, solid ground. I'm good to go. And, you know, I can see how easy it is to be tempted to indulge at times, you know, without the precautions, you know, like, I can't, because if I stop doing the what I have already built in, the continuous repetitiveness of my day of, I eat this in the morning, I eat this at lunch, I eat this at dinner, and I track it all, and then it's like, if I know it's real easy to turn around, and when everybody else around you is going out and getting ice cream, to indulge in that too, but, and it's like, I had to get to a point now where it's like, even yesterday, I chose to get, you know, go to Culver's and get a small vanilla ice cream. Not knowing, one, to see where that would take me. I think that's the thing, is I allowed myself to be tempted by the idea to see what it'll do to my blood sugar. To see, to test the grounds, right?
We're going to justify that, right?
Yeah, you know? And so it's kind of going down those grounds. It's like, okay, I feel like I needed to do that, but it's like, and afterwards, it's like, it didn't improve anything, right? Like, it didn't affect my blood sugar like I thought it might have, which is kind of scary in the sense. Now it's like, oh, I could use it.
I know that.
But, and so, like, I think that's the thing, is you have to, if you go down that trail, if you go down and start giving yourself, like you said, like, excuses to do that, it could end badly. It could. And I think that's the thing, is are you willing to go down that road again? You know, yeah. And for me, it's like, I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back to where, like, I'm trying to get off my medication now. And I've only been on it for a short period of time. I don't want to be on it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and Paul is speaking about, you know, these are opportunities to make decisions. I'll also interject this. I mean, oftentimes we hear people like to quote Jesus from Matthew, don't judge.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have no right to say who's going to make it and who's not going to make it in God's eyes, right? I can't play the role of God, so I can't do that. But we do know later Jesus will talk about in the same Sermon on the Mount, you know, judge for yourselves. And that's really what Paul's kind of talking about here. You know, we have to assess, weigh out the pros, the cons, right? Any type of testing, trial, challenge, temptation, these type of things come. We have to make a judgment call. Right? And sometimes they're going to be the right decisions. We may think they're the right decisions. And they may lead to not the desired result. Other times, we're going to hear if we're going to turn our backs on God, then we easily will make that decision that really disconnects us from God. All right? Thus, Paul is saying, look, God's going to let you give you a way out, right, on all those. So there is this decision-making, judgment, assessing component, and therefore Paul says we have to ground that right in Him who's been raised from the dead and who raises the dead, right, in Christ Jesus and God. That so therefore our decision-making is okay. Remember years ago we had those wristbands, you know, WWJD.
Yeah,
and it was really a way of going, you know, what would Jesus do? Well, that's not a bad grounding. You know, how does God want me to respond to the situation? And then there are others that we're so emotionally engaged in, right? In kind of that suffering. Maybe we're going through a ruptured relationship. You know, those can be very emotional, and you can't really make proper discernment. Other times, maybe we've lost a job, and now we have financial stresses. You know, there's all kinds of things. Does that mean all of a sudden, you know, I start robbing banks because I need money? You know, well, yeah, right? There's all kinds of, we know within the mind of that criminal thinking is, well, you know, banks are insured. They're FDIC insured, so it's not really, you know, it's not your money I'm taking. They're going to get it back. It's just a Culver's ice cream, right?
Yeah. Or it's like what you said, like, oh, they have money, so they can take the loss, you know? Like, no, like the reality is that is theirs. You are doing, you know, what you're not supposed to be doing, and so you have to think about it.
You got anything you want to add there?
Well, I think whenever you hear the word temptation, you automatically go to the negative. You know, you don't think about the positive that can come out of it. You know, like your child's tempting you to learn how far they can push.
Push the boundaries, yeah.
You know, so you can learn from it, you can grow from it, and you can knock yourself back from it. It's just, I guess, the temptation itself or how you approach dealing with the temptation.
I really like that. Because now we're talking about, okay, what's my attitude?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Like you said, the WWJD just made you stop and think before you reacted, which is what we all, I mean, especially in anger, you failed at it.
Yeah, so, you know, putting the emotional component in check, grounding ourselves, right? And I think, I like what you're saying in the sense of, you know, gratitude in my response, right? Am I my perspective? Should I view all temptation as, like you said, negatively, or is it really kind of like the story of Job, right? The testing, the trials, and all those come in order to measure the integrity of my faith, so that I can grow out of this. And if my attitude perspective is, I would really like to continue to grow in the Lord. Well, right? And that's why everybody says, well, you know, be careful what you pray for. Right? If you want to pray for patience, guess what you got coming? That which is going to help make you patient.
waiting on
light. If you're going to pray for light, you can't. There's got to be darkness around. Right? All right. There's always that kind of yin yang sort of.
First one thing I always said is, you can't enjoy the mountain, the top of the mountain, if you don't go through the veil.
And you got to climb the mountain.
It's always on top of the mountain. You don't appreciate it because you didn't have any battles going, through the veil.
Well, and I think that's the thing, right? Is that everybody's been on that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where I would say is what he's talking about is if you're truly following Christ, then you're open to it. You're open to talking about it, right? Like you're open to not denying it and not thinking you're on top of the mountain. Like there's so many people we run into, right? That feel like they're always on top of the mountain when we know their stuff sucks. In a sense, like
yeah.
we know that they're failing Christ by not admitting that they're in the valley at times. That they have had hard struggles because they keep putting themselves above on top, thinking that they're above everybody else. That their stuff doesn't stink.
Right. Right.
And like I think that's where the sin is or the disconnect from Christ is when you are not freely admitting that you have stuff going on in your life, that you're on a struggle, you are being tempted like everybody else.
And Paul flat out says, there's no testing or temptation to come you that is not common to everyone. So you're not special.
Yeah.
We're not special.
Well, that's, I think, a mistake that a lot of people make when they come to the Lord. They think, oh, now I'm on Easy Street. Actually, you're getting on a harder road because the devil now got you in his bullseye.
Yeah.
He's losing you or lost you, you know.
Yeah.
And then when these temptations or these failures or hard times come, they're so shallow in the faith itself, I guess, that they fall away quicker.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I want, but not now. I mean, why do I do all these things when I didn't do them, I had it better. You know, I didn't give my 10% tithe, or I didn't this, or I didn't that. Now I'm struggling a little bit, thinking that when you give me 10%, you're going to get your return right away. It don't work that way. Like you said, praying for patience. You're going to learn patience waiting for him to give you
patience. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You talk about the whole patience, and he does talk about, God will help so that we can endure, right? And so if you put patience and endurance, then it reminds me of where Paul writes, like in Romans, right? That suffering produces endurance, right? And endurance produces patience, and patience produces character, right? And character produces hope, which does not disappoint. Well, okay. Where do you get suffering from? It starts with suffering. And it could be the suffering of the testing, the trial, the temptation, the tribulation, the challenges that life, as you said, brings to us. So it's a constant lesson. Life is a classroom. The question is, are we aware of our presence in the classroom? Are we aware of the lessons being taught in the classroom? Are we learning from the lessons so that we grow and move on to the next classroom, right? Down the hall, right? I don't know. We're playing that metaphor. I'll way too far. But all right, any other closing thoughts, gentlemen? I probably, just in closing, I will, before we went on the air, we mentioned this. And just kind of piggybacking what you were saying on, sometimes we're going to try and take it on our own. But over in 2 Corinthians, Paul does make reference to, there was a burden beyond him and his followers' ability to bear. And he says, and it was so, we would not trust in ourselves, but that we would trust in God as well as you, brethren, others. Right, so let's not think that it's just God's not going to give me something beyond what I can bear. There's going to be some of those, right? They're the personal ones, but there's other things. I need help, right? And God says, "Yep, that's exactly right, because I've got people in place that are there to help you." So the burden of its own for myself is too much. but with the help of other believers, right, God ends up being glorified and the burden is overcome.
That's so, part of life.
Yeah.
Which it brings to a situation like me. I come to you, you for that. And also, then you're working on humility, a humble pride. I mean, I've never been in this predicament, and I always try to live good. I mean, if I were to come to Michigan, I'd never be in this position because I'd have 20 people. Here's a place, here's this, here's that.
Right.
But I come up here, somewhere I haven't been in over 20 years, and I'm like, you know, I might as well have went to Iceland, or the
right,
North Pole.
Right.
And so, you know, I had to deal with a bunch of other things being hit by one.
Yeah.
So you grow, and, you know, let's see. I mean, I always try and be humble, but you know how we fail at that, and pride, I mean.
We're all a work in progress.
That's the hardest one to let go of. But, I mean, yeah, you know, one, like I said, you throw that pebble in there, you get more than one ripple. So, you know, every action causes a reaction, which causes an action that causes a reaction. And that's something that we have a hard time dealing with and understanding. You know, that it could be a decision we made, you know, a month ago that hits us today through the chain of action.
Yeah.
And that is how you deal with it, like my leg. Now, how I deal with this, I could be mad and want to give up and lay down and crawl in a hole or kill myself or whatever. But I've had lots of people come up to me and say, hey, you're an inspiration. Because it's just another, unfortunately, I've had enough temptations in my life that I just deal with them. You know, and then, you know, growing up in the faith, I have my favorite guy, which, you know, I'm not going to give up. I know he's there. Whether, you know, I give him 10% or 80%, you know, I know he's there. And he's going to give me 100% if I allow him to.
Sure, yeah.
Because I can block him just as well as I can, you know, block myself.
Yeah. Very good. Well, thanks for sharing. All right, gentlemen, I appreciate all your feedback and the conversation and today's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, and love be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.